Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Imperfect Athlete podcast. Today, you will hear the second part of my conversation with Madison Farnsworth. We'll be talking about her work as a mental performance consultant, and especially how she deals and works with people with stress and anxiety. But before we get into that, I want to go and tell you about my mistake of the week. Now, in my personal life, I can be seen as a quite opinionated and stubborn person. And that results in a tendency to tell people they are wrong when they tell me something that doesn't align with my beliefs or something like that. And it is putting me into situations where I'm closing people off that I'm talking to listening to what I have to say and understand or try to understand and maybe change their opinion. They just close off. I tell them, no, that's not right. This is how it works. And they stop listening. And I think something that I want to learn is to understand that everyone sees the world slightly differently. And everyone has their own frame of mind to look at things. And in order to have these kinds of conversations with people and have the ability or the opportunity to maybe change somebody's opinion, I need to be able to listen and understand what they are saying and what frame they are using to look at things. And from that start, try and explain where I'm coming from. So that's definitely a mistake that I make and I would like to get better at. And I feel like I have to just keep working on that and trying to stay composed and not be too aggressive in terms of my opinions. As I mentioned before, today's episode is the second part of my conversation with Madison Farnsworth about her work as a mental performance consultant, and specifically we'll be talking about stress and anxiety. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Now, Maddie, I know you give talks and you work with people on skills that aim to reduce stress and anxiety in sports. I know you do some visualization, relaxation seminars and stuff like that. I want to talk a little bit about stress in sport because for my experience, stress is often caused by the fear of mistakes happening or the fear of making mistakes. That's where a lot of the stress comes from, right? People are anxious about looking silly or making a fool of themselves, or they're anxious about the, you know, possible negative outcomes or what other people will think of them. So to start off, could you explain a little bit what stress and anxiety is and where you feel like, from your experience as a mental performance consultant, where it comes from in athletes?
Yeah, I think, stress in my opinion is very perception-based. Like you were saying, it's a fear of, you know, whatever the situation maybe at hand. It's taking on a lot of demands that people want from you, or, you know, if you look at a life of a student athlete, like we were talking about earlier, they've got how many classes to keep up their grades. I'm sure they've all got family or, you know, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. And on top of that, they have to dedicate their life to being an athlete, you know, nutrition, hydration, sleep, you know, they have to get an adequate amount of sleep and things like that. So, and if something disrupts that, could cause all that stress and that anxiety, and which we can probably get into in another session of, you know, the importance of setting a routine and things like that.
Absolutely.
You know, getting your flow into things. And then where does it come from? Like I was saying, I think it has a lot to do about perception. you know, don't get me wrong, everybody stresses. And sometimes it's, you know, just managing life, and life is sometimes difficult. But how you perceive the situation, you know, is it something, is it reality of, is that fear a reality, or is it actually how a situation may play out? If it is actually how a situation is going to play out, you know, what are some contingency plans to address that, you know, in order to make you not so stressed? You know, if it's, you have to confront somebody, what are some of the ways that it could play out? Things like that, I think, have a big impact on stress.
Absolutely. And you know, the idea that stress is a perception, I think, is something that we should always, you know, point out, because what that means is that for some people, running a 100-meter Olympic final seems extremely stressful, where for others that, you know, that can be completely non-stressful, while for other people calling a stranger on the phone can be extremely stressful. It's all about perception. And what I find, and I would like to get your opinion on that, is that a lot of things surrounding stress in society and sports are based on sort of a quantified value of how stressful things are. So it's weird if somebody is stressed about, you know, forgetting their shoes, but it's okay to be stressed about, you know, playing a final. How do you see that, and what is your opinion on that?
Definitely. I think one thing people, I feel like when people are stressed, the stress stresses them out even more. It kind of like feeds off of everything. And I think that that's one thing people forget to do, is accept it. Look, accept that you're stressed, you know, accept that you forgot your shoes. Now, what are you going to do? And how are you going to make sure it doesn't happen next time? You know, take it as all part of a learning process, is, you know what, take a deep breath, accept it, it happened. But are you going to dwell on it and let it ruin your day, ruin your performance, things like that? You know, it's, you know, one thing I've learned from Greece, just take a deep breath. It's okay. You got it.
So what?
Don't worry about it.
So what, Maddie, is actually a really interesting story about stress and anxiety is referring to is we're both from what we would call Western cultures. And when I went to Greece, I expected that culture to be fairly similar to what it was back for me in the Netherlands or in Canada or the United States. But the way society works is very different. There is this catchphrase in Greece that we've heard thousands of times, just don't worry about it. It will be fine. So you get into situations where, you know, you have an assignment due in 4 days and you haven't gotten the assignment yet. You get into situations where, like, you're leaving on a bus for a school trip tomorrow, but you don't know what time. Like, there's a bunch of these kinds of things, and the Greek people would say, oh, it'll be fine. Like, just don't worry about it. But no. For someone that's coming from a society in which, you know, planning and punctuality and, you know, structure is very important, that was something that's really hard. And I know for sure that for the first few months that I was there, I stressed about it. And it was like, but what if, blah, 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 blah. And I know, you know, I talked with Maddie during that period, obviously, and she had the same thing. But it did teach me exactly what I tried to teach my athletes now, is like, the first step is you got to accept your situation and accept that you're stressed about things. So the moment I decided to say, you know what, I'm just going to let it go and you know, go with it and try to make the best out of each of the situations that is handed to me, I actually realized that I could thrive in that environment that I thought would be, you know, beforehand, if you would have asked me, I was like, no way I can do anything in that kind of situation. So it's a great example of how that message of try to accept the situation you're in already sort of relieves a lot of the stress. And that also relieves one of the, you know, great things I think you said was the stress about the stress. I call it the worry about worrying about worrying about worrying. It's this slippery slope. And, you know, what happens at some point is when you stress about something, it takes a little bit of your mental resources. right? If you look at the brain, it just has a limited capacity of mental resources available to it. When we stress, the stress takes up a little bit. When you stress about the stress, it takes up a little bit more. And when you keep going, at some point, the only thing your brain is doing is stress. That's it. That's 100% of your resources devoted to stress rather than what, you know, Maddie is saying about, you know, finding strategies to deal with it and stuff like that. So that becomes this really tricky situation where you can't do anything anymore because the only thing your brain is doing is thinking about the stress and worrying. So can you explain a little bit what you do to help athletes and other people to deal with these kinds of situations?
It depends on the circumstance. I work with a lot of rugby athletes, and then I also work with a lot of athletes recovering from an injury, whether it's a concussion or collarbone injury, things like that. So I do a lot of goal setting with them. That way, it's something that they can look forward to, you know, especially with an injured athlete, if it's within their doctor's orders. We set little goals. That way they feel like they're achieving things and building that confidence and motivation back up. And then it doesn't just feel like a waiting game, you know, because sometimes that builds stress. So goal setting for sure. Imagery, I think, is great, because they can visualize their performance if they're not able to compete, if they see themselves doing a task successfully, then they believe in their ability to do it, and that sometimes can reduce stress. And then my ultimate favorite is actually progressive relaxation. And the rugby athletes that I work with are ages 14 to 18, and they I do it in group sessions, but we do progressive relaxation. So you tense up certain muscle groups one at a time, and then you release it. And then, you know, for example, you make a fist and then release it. Then you clench your whole arm, then release it. A lot of the times they don't realize that either they're already making a fist, or, you know, when you shrug your shoulders up, 90% of the time their shoulders are already up. So when I'm like, shrug your shoulders, they're like, oh, they're already there, you know, that I didn't realize I was stressed right now. And then, you know, we learn how to release it and take that deep breath and let it go. So I do a few things, but I think progressive relaxation is my favorite, because they actually can feel that, you know, it's like when you ask somebody, when you tell somebody, don't be stressed, and they respond with, I'm not stressed, you know, like, are you sure? So that's why I like progressive relaxation, because it's a simple way to kind of address it, and then they have the chance to release it and feel the difference, like literally feel the difference of that release.
And I think we could take a second here to show the people who are listening what this skill is. So when you're listening right now, I want you to clench your teeth as hard as you can. And then you hold it for 1, 2, 3 seconds. And now release all the muscles around your mouth. A lot of people hold a lot of tension there. And if you did this, you probably felt like a weight. I was actually already holding a lot of tension in my jaw. And what really is strong about this technique used in combination with, you know, for stress and anxiety, is we just talked about those mental resources. So we're talking about athletes who have limited mental resources available to them. Now, if I'm trying to go and battle that by adding mental tasks, things that I have to do, that cognitive tasks or something like that, I'm asking them to use even more mental resources, which they don't have, which tends to lead to a lot of frustration and stuff like that. So the progressive muscle relaxation is a great technique because it uses the body to mind connection rather than like trying to influence the brain from the brain. And by releasing a lot of physical tension, you can release a lot of mental stress as well.
Right. And I feel like it's not something that takes up a lot of time, too. You know, I used to do it a lot when I was competing. And, you know, before track, if I felt like something was just off with my body, I would actually do that exercise and, you know, take a couple of deep breaths, and it just, granted, when you do the whole exercise, it's really valuable, but sometimes it's just a nice, easy way to do it. And then you feel the difference. You're like, oh, okay, so I was just tense. Like, now I'm good, you know, and ready to go. So it's convenient too.
And how are the athletes experiencing this?
I've gotten a lot of good feedback from it. I do winter camps for the rugby athletes every December 26th through the 30th. And I do it every year. I think last year we didn't do it one day. And I got asked why we didn't do it. A lot of the athletes are like, I like that exercise. You're not going to put us to sleep. Sorry. So I get a lot of good feedback from it. It's something that, you know, these athletes are great, and they know the difference for sure of when they're stressed or, you know, versus when they need to be relaxed and things like that.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far, but I would like to take this moment to tell you a little bit about the work I do. I'm a professional mental performance consultant, which means that I work with teams, coaches, and individual athletes to help them improve their mental abilities. This can mean that I help them deal with issues and problems such as anxiety and motivation problems, and I help people to increase their performance through the use of mental skills such as visualization and goal setting. If you are interested in increasing your mental performance and want to know a little bit more about what I do, please find me on different social medias as JWK Mental Performance Training. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. I have a lot of different content out there that can teach you a little bit more, and if you're interested in working with me, send me a message. Together, we can figure out the best way to maximize your mental performance. Now, let's get back to the podcast. So you also talked a little bit about goal setting. So if somebody who's listening right now wants to use that skill a little bit in terms of helping them deal with things like you said, recovering from injury or maybe some other longer term things, what would you have some tips for them to get going on that?
So we all know SMART goals, mm-hmm. You know, making it specific, measurable, attainable or achievable, you know, realistic and time-based. I think, you know, don't forget to, or so the way that I like to structure it is I like coming up with the outcome goal. You know, what is it that you ultimately want to achieve here? And then go back to step one and say, okay, now what's the first step? So where am I right now? Now what's the next step that I want to take? And then what's the next step after that? You know, come up with those baby steps to reach your outcome goal. You know, develop those process goals and things like that. And one thing that my athletes forget to do a lot, and I'm constantly reminding them, is reward yourself. You know, don't let it be so much as an incentive to do it. You know, you want to be motivated to reach your goals. But, you know, if you get half to your halfway point, you know, reward yourself with something. You know, your goals shouldn't feel like homework. It should be something that you feel great doing. So set those little goals, you know, make them a little challenging, make them fun. You know, there's a lot of creative ways that you can get to where you want to be as an athlete.
Yeah, I think that's really it's a great point. I called my I've started calling my the outcome goal the big goal, the wish. Like, what is something you really want, right? Because
right,
like you said, like you need to be rewarded for reaching your goals. It doesn't need to be homework. Nobody's happy when they're given their homework on time. Like, it doesn't really. It's like it's something you have to do. Like, I don't know a lot of people that are very happy when they did their chores. It's not something that gives a lot of reward. But when we think about performances in athletics or anywhere else, we probably have a really good motivation of why do we want to reach this? Like, what do we want to reach? What would you be really happy with if you reached it? And that's a great starting point, because that you know, adds reward to every single step along the way, because you know you're working towards something that, you know, is really precious to you, that you really care about.
That's a great point that you bring up too, is, you know, why do you want to do this? You know, with, you know, back to my rugby kids, I, a lot of the times when I ask them, why do you want to? Well, my mom said, or my coach said, it's like, why do you want to? You know, it's, you're the athlete. You're the one that actually has to do it. So why do you want to, or do you not want to do it? You know, developing that why is so important.
Yeah, I think it's one of the most important questions that we can figure out as mental performance consultants. If we can find somebody's why they play a sport, or why they want to, you know, go somewhere, that creates so much power and grip for us to work with. I've one client that I work with, when I asked him about the why, he said, "I just love playing this sport." And so everything we do now is just based on that. We've removed any real like talk about like achievements and stuff like that. We've trying to come up with strategies and techniques to make sure that no matter what, this person can have fun playing the sport, and that's right. Helping a lot. So, you know, when we talk about why, it's not always like, oh, I want to win a gold medal, I want to do this. Sometimes it's just, I want to have fun. And sometimes it's, I want to stay healthy. We talk about motivation, and we say, oh, you should be intrinsically motivated to do things. But sometimes you're not. Some people really enjoy going to the gym. They're intrinsically motivated to do so. A lot of people are not. They go to the gym to reach a certain outcome, to stay healthy or to lose weight or whatever. And when you use goal setting with that why and that bigger goal, that can really help you reach that that goal and keep your motivation. We talked about goal setting, which is one of the things you mentioned. We talked about relaxation, which is another one. One last one that I'm really interested in about how you use it to help people deal with stress and anxiety is, you mentioned imagery, or as it more commonly is known, visualization. So how do you use visualization to help people deal with stress and anxiety?
I use it more with injured athletes, or recovering athletes, I should say. One athlete that I had was she broke her collarbone. She was a softball player and she's young. So we did a visualization exercise. Was it? She was out of her cast for, I think, about a month. Mm-hmm. So she had just gotten cleared a few weeks before we started to do this, but she was nervous to go back out onto the field. So we, did visualization, and, I'm totally blanking on the name of the technique, so I'll have to get you that name. So we did it in steps. So the first step was visualize yourself standing in the middle of the field. That was it. That was step one. Mm-hmm. Once she felt comfortable just being in that environment, then we added her glove. Then mm-hmm. we added a ball. So what had happened was, she was doing a drill where the teams form two lines and they learn how to call for the ball. You know, I got it. Things like that. So I think they called it a colliding drill. So that way you learned how to not collide with your teammate. And she ended up colliding, and that's how she broke her collarbone. So we placed her, you know, with her ball, with her gloves, then with her ball. And then it was, she was doing the drill by herself. And then we added a person just standing there while she was doing the exercise. And then we added the person running with her. So it took, I think it took about a month and a half, 2 months, for us to get to the point where the person could be there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause she just felt so nervous, like, you know, it gave her anxiety just thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So But once we got to that point, so now she's fine. She's playing totally normal. She's back to her A-game MVP player, like all the above. Mm-hmm. But it takes time. It was patience and, you know, it helped her get back on her feet. But so that's how I use imagery in that way.
I think that that's a great lesson where if you are, you know, stressed or you feel anxious about certain situations, visualizing can help sort of put yourself in that uncomfortable spot in a more controlled environment where, you know, first of all, especially with injuries, there is no chance of physically getting harmed, even though your brain doesn't really understand the difference. There's no actual chance of getting physically harmed. And like Maddie was explaining, you can really slowly build up to a point where you're comfortable doing that. I do want to add a side note that I know coaches and athletes and other people, they tend to say like, oh, you should visualize, or I want to visualize. Visualization, or like we call it imagery, is a skill that is a fairly complex skill that is quite hard to master on your own and get it right to the point where you are so specific that you can add all these little parts and make it feel realistic and stuff like that. I'd really encourage anyone who hears this and says like, wow, I need that, reach out to a mental performance consultant to help you learn how to do this skill, because it's hard to get right. And if you don't get it right, you might not get the results that you want.
Right. And that method that I was talking about is called the therapeutic method.
There you go. It's, yeah. I think it's a great method, and I've gone with athletes that I'm working on, I've gone even a one little step further where we're now recreating situations that are really stressful and anxious, maybe that haven't happened before. This is really a situation that obviously something happened during this drill, so it's, you know, putting the athlete back and finding the confidence that sure, it happened, but it was such an unlikely event that it's so unlikely that it will happen again, and feel more comfortable with that. I've started working with athletes now saying, okay, what is something that you're nervous about? Like when you think ahead to your next competition, okay, well, let's create that scenario and go over like, what can I do? Right. So this can go wrong, and I'm really afraid that this is going to go wrong. And we say, okay, well, let's accept that you're anxious about that. And brings us back to, you know, the first step of accepting stress and anxiety. And then we create the situation and basically ask ourselves the question, what are you going to do if it happens? How are you going to deal with it? What's your plan? What's your strategy to work through this thing that you're really stressed about? And that Right. definitely gives a lot of confidence to athletes, because often it's, you know, there's a stressful event or situation that might happen, but then, you know, the biggest thing is that there's stress about the stress and the worry about the worry, etc. So taking that away by going through the options and the solutions in that particular situation just leaves the initial stress or anxiety about that one event, which is often mm-hmm. very manageable, as long as the mental resources that are taken up by the stress are relatively low. We're very, like, very capable of dealing with it. So that's something to take into account. Before we end up, do you have any examples of like what are the kind of mistakes that result from stress and anxiety?
That's a good question. I think that. I think I would go with, you know, I feel like a lot of the times, you know, like, you know, you were talking about mental resources and things like that, is people manage stress in so many different ways, but a lot of the times you see just kind of like a panic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all their senses shut down, and it's just, they can't think of a solution in that moment. So I think, I guess it's not necessarily a mistake, but a way to kind of prevent one is, like you were saying, you know, come up with those contingency plans. You know, what's the worst that could happen if this happens? You know, and how are you going to address it? So you kind of, you can be kind of proactive about stress in that way. So I think not doing that could be kind of a mistake.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think the biggest mistake people can make around stress and anxiety is just hope for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see that a lot. Just sort of like, I know I'm really stressed and this really stresses me out and I'm really anxious about it, but I'm just going to hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that might go well.
It's not right.
As long as it really doesn't happen, but the moment it happens, people get, like you said, in a complete panic. So I think our biggest advice here is be proactive about your stress and anxiety and try and come up with, like you mentioned, contingency plans
for happens. Or if you don't want to do it, then better be very accepting of the result.
Yes, it's a harsh reality that you'll have to deal face on with your stress and anxiety if you want it to stop affecting you in the way it is now.
Yeah.
Maddie, thank you very much. Do you have anything, any advice to add for anyone who's listening, who's maybe a young athlete or an older athlete or a coach that's listening about stress and anxiety?
I think we covered a lot of topics here, but I think just in summary, it's, you know, stress happens to everybody. You know, you're not alone in it. Use your resources, like Gilly was talking about before. You know, find a buddy that, sure, you know, vent to, things like that, but come up with a solution for it. You know, it makes such a difference if you're either proactive about it, you accept it, address it, it happens, and it's okay. You know, just come up with those plan Bs and move forward with it. You know, you can be a successful athlete, student, you know, worker, friend, whatever it is. And, you know, I think it's really important to accept the stress and in order to be successful.
Yeah, very much. Thank you very, very much for being a guest on the show, Maddie. So where can people find you if they're looking to contact you or want to know more about you and your business?
They can visit me at Tora, www.toramentalperformance.com. I am also on Facebook and Instagram. They can find me Tora Mental Performance on Instagram and Facebook. So feel free to reach out if you have any questions. You can also visit that website and you can send me a message on there, whatever is easiest. I'm available.
Perfect. You can find me as JWK Mental Performance Training on different social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode with Maddie of the Imperfect Athlete.